So for those of you who are listening along, we are going through our signature 7-step framework on how we have healed body image, not only in our lives, but also in your lives, in the lives of our clients. And we're going to do so by talking about our experience in Costa Rica. I know we haven't really had a chance to like publicly talk about it yet. You remember when I was like, we're going to go live in the fall when we were in Costa Rica. And you're like, Brianna, I don't think that's happening. Today is step number 5. And step number 5 is living your big, best, beautiful life right now. I think one of the things that I experienced myself, I kept waiting to live my life. Like once I get the body that I'm supposed to be in, that's when my life gets to begin. And we want you to take unapologetic permission to start living that best life in the body that you have today.
Absolutely, Bri. I totally remember living my best life was always in the future after I got this body that was supposedly was going to happen someday. I just remember that best life was always in the future, that it was always somewhere else besides where I was. And the problem is you cannot feel a big, best, beautiful, unapologetic life in the future. It happens in the present. What is required to do that and how we can kind of get there, you know, because we don't just skip to that part.
Let me skip to the good part. That doesn't happen. You don't get to skip the part. The only way out is through. So first, we're going to talk about what we grieved in Costa Rica. Then we're going to talk about our acronym for living your best life now. And then we're going to talk about how did we live our best unapologetic life in Costa Rica. What are some of the things that we grieved in Costa Rica?
We definitely did quite a bit of grieving. And like, I know that people don't want to grieve, especially in situations, but like when you can grieve, it kind of starts to move, right? Like you don't have to stay stuck in that space of there's something wrong with my body or the body hatred. One of the things that I grieved was briefly when I'm on that excursion. And I grieved seeing these folks do the zip line and, you know, knowing that like weight limit wise, I was not going to be able to do the zip line.
A little bit of context. So we were in La Fortuna and we went to see the volcano Arenal. And there was this SkyTram because I really wanted to get familiar with some size inclusive, mobility friendly excursions. And I asked about the weight limit. And like, why was there a weight limit? And I actually felt like the answer that we got, this is probably another podcast episode. I was like, oh, so all we just need are some really smart, innovative body grievers to come up with how to solve the problem of inertia. They just said the only thing was a safety issue of when you're propelling down the zip line, they don't have a way to stop you. And to me, that is so solvable. That is a solvable issue. But talk a little bit about your experience of the grief with that.
Well, the grief is for me is that adventure of going fast through the forest really appealing to me, and to know that like that wasn't going to be able to be part of my life experience in that way at that time, like it brought on that grief and that sadness that they haven't made it more accessible for more people. In the past, I would have really felt like there's something wrong with me. I would have gone into how can I diet before the next time I can come? I'm going to come back here and I'm going to do this instead of just saying like, yeah, I'm going to do different things in my life, but maybe not this thing.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about the structure of like how to move through grief and how to manage it. There was only one other time where I would say grief kind of came up for me in Costa Rica from like a body image perspective. And it was that accessibility of going on one of the excursions. I had known the first excursion that our team went on. I was like, that doesn't sound like something my body is going to be able to do. And so I opted to go for the second one. Then after you realized how misinformed you were on the quote unquote easy light walking that was actually a hike, you went and asked more questions about the sunset cruise. And not only was there no dock, like you had to get on the boat in the water and climb up a ladder. And I was like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to do that. And so, yeah, I had to grieve in that moment that this thing was going to be inaccessible to me. Just holding those moments of grief. And they sucked.
Well, it even sucked, like, a lot of the excursions that, like, I know you weren't down there, like, looking at all of them at the beginning. Like, you know, I checked them out, but to be like, yeah, there's only a couple here that are even possible for some of our folks.
I think so often we want to rush to the reframe. We're like, okay, well, how can you reframe that? And I just want to talk about how harmful that is. Because what that says when you go immediately to, okay, well, what's the reframe? Says that the feeling that you're experiencing is not right, that you should be feeling something else.
It's dismissive.
Bingo. And so what we do in our community is we encourage people first to sit in the suck. And I think about sort of like the contrast that you and I bring. I bring the grief and you bring the joy. And so we did this beautiful exercise in Costa Rica. I ended up doing a group coaching class on the beach. And we did a letting go exercise. What do you want to leave in Costa Rica? And then contrasted with you.
I did the taking in. What are you going to take with you? What are you going to bring with you going forward?
And I think we need room for both. I think there's room to say, there's things I'm going to leave. There are things that are not serving me. And there are things that I'm going to take with me. It is both and.
I want to just touch on that grief and that dismissive portion for a minute, because what happens is when we don't leave space for that, it's almost like saying you shouldn't feel this way, which can swing us right back into like it's our fault. And it also doesn't allow us to matter. Mm. Like, it's when you take that moment to sit in the suck of that grief, it's like, wait, no, I matter. This matters. And, you know, we've lived in a world in larger bodies where we've been told we don't matter and that we're doing something wrong all the time.
Oh, first you were doing it wrong because you exist in a larger body. Now you're doing it wrong because you are still struggling with the fact that your body's different. And the analogy that I'll use that I think can resonate with people, grief is like carbon monoxide. It will steal all of the oxygen in the room. So when we pretend like it doesn't exist, when we just try to dress it up and change it, it is not allowing air to penetrate the poison that is existing.
Well, and I think that that's like, you know, when you talk about skimming right to the reframe, I think another way that we could talk about that is like the toxic positivity.
I say this to my providers all the time. When you are having a no good, very bad, rotten day, what is the worst thing someone can say to you when you're having a no good, rotten day? For me, it's like, it could be worse. Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Look at all the great things that you have in your life.
I'll ask my providers this too, of like, and what is helpful when you are having a no good, very bad day? For me, it is somebody just saying, hey, I see that you're having a hard time and I just want to acknowledge it. And I'm really sorry.
For me, it's somebody being like, tell me about this. Like, you're clearly like having a thing. Like, tell me what's going on inside of you. Like, let me understand.
But I've gotten really good at advocating for myself. And that is how I live my bubble, is living my best, unapologetic, big, beautiful life by saying, okay, I'm going to ask the awkward question.
And this is what we're talking about, is just a different way of living our best unapologetic life.
I love that. So let's talk a little bit about how we manage our grief so that we can embrace the joy.
How do we manage that grief?
The first thing that I do is I want to assess the expectations that I have. And that if I can set the expectations early on, if my thought is like, I'll be disappointed, like, only a little bit, as opposed to being like, oh, everything's going to be accessible, and then getting crushed when it isn't. But I think the other thing that we did is naming the grief. So I think even for you to acknowledge the grief around ziplining, for me to name the grief of not being sure I'd be able to get on the Sunset Cruise. But then this is how we embraced the joy, is by figuring out, okay, well, what can I do? So I'll talk a little bit about that from my perspective of knowing, well, I didn't get to go on this excursion, so I need to go find something I can do. And I went down and I spoke to the person, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to get on the boat. And he said, let me show you the boat. He's like, let me show you a picture. And as soon as I saw the boat, I was like, oh, I can do that. It was still going to be, quote unquote, hard, because you're trying to get on a moving boat in the middle of the water. It's going to require a little bit of strength. I wasn't going to get off the boat and do the snorkeling. And fear was a little bit of discomfort in that. But by living my best, unapologetic, big, beautiful life, I did the thing anyway. And so I think part of that is doing it scared, is doing it despite the fear and anxiety. We're faking it till we make it.
Well, I think that's, so I went on the other excursion and Bree took this one, right? I remember one of the things before you went that you said is, well, I'm going to try. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. And we'll figure that out. Like, we'll be able to handle that and deal with that. Mm-hmm. I think that little portion right there shows a lot of what we like teach and talk about in our community, because so often we stop ourselves, or we can, because we don't know, right? You didn't know if you were going to be able to get on the boat, but you knew that if you couldn't get on the boat, you could handle it.
It was going to suck.
It was going to suck.
But
I could move through it.
If I can manage that grief, I can manage this too. And this is why I think one of the hurdles for people is we're trying to create an experience of trust, of like, yeah, I can do that, when we haven't done it before. And so that's what I love about having our community and being able to do this in real time with folks, is we're doing the scary thing. Hey, I went and I asked for an accommodation for a chair and nobody laughed at me. So that the next time you go to do that, you're like, I know that I can ask. And most people, I said this a lot on the trip, most people care more about your money than they do about your body. So if you're a paying customer, they're like, absolutely. What did they say a lot in Costa Rica? Con mucho gusto. It is with pleasure. But I want to go back to this other piece of like creating these memory pairings, right? Creating this experience, this safe attachment experience, that when we try and fail, we will get the opportunity to try again. And I wanted to bring up, do you remember trying to park that behemoth of a car in Montana? So tell everybody a little bit about that.
When we did the provider retreat in Montana, it was still snowing. There was still snow on the ground, right?
Yeah.
And we needed, I'm from California, I don't drive in the snow, right? Like, but we get this giant car, like an expedition, like the largest car that we could get.
She was a big girl.
It was huge. But we were trying to park this one night. I was trying to park the car. And we're coming in I was struggling and I was trying to get through this car situation. I don't drive a car that huge. Don't drive in the snow. It was a lot. The other folks were there with us. There was a lot of pressure in that moment. And Bree gets out to try to like direct me and like, okay, go this way and go that way, right? And then Bree, what happened? What did you see happen?
So I saw you freaking out a little bit. And so I went right into the rescue. I was like, get out. I'll park it. And you were like, I think I got it. I think I got it. I was like, okay. And then I would see you struggle. And I was like, Jenna, just get out of the car and I'll do it.
And do you remember what you said to me? I was like, no, I need to park this car.
I came up close to you. You were like, come here. And so I came up to someone and you're like, I have to do this. And I was like, and I believe you could do it. But I was trying to rescue you from the discomfort of not being able to do it.
Well,
and that's about me. That wasn't about you.
Interesting if we could have unraveled that and like, I mean, so much was happening in that very moment, but like, I think if I could have really expressed it, I would have been able to say, I need your support, but I need to do this. I need you to direct me. I need you to make sure I don't hit anything, but like, I need to do this. Like, that's the part I love seeing, is like, when we can show up and say, hey, you can park this car, but we're going to be here to support you.
And because we got up and sang karaoke, how many other people in our community said, we're going to get up there too.
And She had the most joyful time.
Well, and this is so ironic. So, okay, so we started with, by talking about some of the things we grieved in Costa Rica. And now I want to talk about some of the things, some of our bubbles in Costa Rica, some of our big, best, beautiful, unapologetic moments. One of them was singing as a group in the pool. Can you talk about that?
One of the things that happened is we were all swimming in the pool. We were singing along to a speaker. And we were dancing. We were really getting into it, singing along to the speaker. And before we knew it, like, people in the pool were coming up to us and being like, where did this come? I'm like, this is the best time. And then we even got, like, song requests. I'm like, poolside karaoke here. We were just unapologetically taking up space together.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just, like, I don't know, that those moments for me is like, just to know that, like, most of the people on the trip,
yeah,
had trouble putting on a bathing suit at first.
Yeah, that moment in the pool will be a like, where everybody's singing, it will be a core memory for a lifetime. And I, you know, I know one of the feedback that we got about the community was just how welcoming and loving the folks were. Like, it was instantaneous friendship. I would say one of my, like, bubble moments was just that very first night when you made us do that game. And I was like, I don't want to do a game. And Jana was like, we're going to do a game and it's going to be fun. And it ended up being a great way to get to know everybody, to learn people's names and personalities. And I could not remember the last time I laughed that hard. So even, like, thinking about all of the stress that it took to get there, booking the wrong ticket, going to the wrong city, or scheduled to go to the wrong city, like, it's both and. I had to experience that, but I got to experience the best, big, beautiful, unapologetically.
We talked about this a little bit, like, being from Jersey and from California, like, it's a little different, but even just the way we're raised, like, I just was raised to be such a rule follower. It can be hard sometimes for me to be like, F that, I'm not doing that. You know, like, yeah. I've had to kind of, like, grow into that a little more. And that first night when we were having trouble finding some space and we were like a physical space where we could all meet together, I think that even just that shows, like, this progress, because that's what we want people to learn, is how to create space for themselves. Like, we can't always all be together.
Yeah. And I think it requires a sense of resiliency. And it is hard to do that alone. And I think it was, you know, one of the folks on our trip who said, there is power in numbers. That when it feels hard to take up that unapologetic space alone, do it with other people. It is a lot harder to snuff the joy and the life out when there is a group of us. So if we're going to leave folks with some journaling prompts, do you have anything that you might have people reflect on?
I think that where it kind of starts is, like, what's stopping? Like, what am I letting stop?
Yeah, what are the hurdles keeping you from living your best unapologetic life?
So I did a podcast episode yesterday,
and I talked about Costa Rica being my dream. Like, being able to take, so it was supposed to be 22 people to another country in a fat, positive, mobility-friendly trip was my dream. And the podcast interviewer said, what's your next dream? And I was like, oh, I don't even know yet. And that's the healing that comes with body image, is the possibility of dreaming. And so if you had asked me 5, 10 years ago if this would have happened, I wouldn't have believed it was possible, because I hadn't lived it yet. And so in order to create the possibility of dreaming, let's imagine what your best, unapologetic, big, beautiful life you enjoy right now, today, not when you have the body you think you're supposed to have. What does that look like? Number two, what is getting in the way? What are the hurdles that are keeping you stuck? And I would say number three goes back to step six of, what do you need to honor the suck of the grief that is coming in? How do we honor the space while also bringing in air to the carbon monoxide, to the toxicity?
I think even sometimes we're taught, like, what does living our best life also look like, right? But, like, really anchoring into yourself and saying, what is my best life?
Yeah. And your best life is not necessarily going to be my best life. Jana was the dancing queen of Costa Rica. I was not. I will never be the dancing queen. I don't want to wobble. I want to watch Jana wobble, though. If you are listening to this as a podcast episode, if you are listening to it in real time, if you are sitting in the suck at what it's costing you to exist in your current body, and if you feel like you've been on this body image, quote unquote, journey, and feel like this is hopeless, there is no light at the end of the tunnel, we would like to personally invite you to a masterclass that we are holding called the bargaining phase. We talk about the concept of grief, and we believe that grief is the agent or the avenue in healing your body image story, that you cannot find your big, best, unapologetic life unless we make room for the grief. In our community, we joke that I hold the grief, Jana holds the joy, but it is both together that provides the healing. And so if you have felt stuck in your body grief exploration, if it feels impossible to take up sexy, unapologetic permission, we want to invite you to join us inside of this masterclass called The Bargaining Phase, Wading into Body Grief. If you are listening to this inside of the vault, you will have free access to this masterclass. That is going to be November 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So again, masterclass on the 21st, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love you so, so much. Until next time.